Good morning, Karen. Let's start off talking about Alec Baldwin a little bit. So is the deal here that they're claiming Baldwin's contract protects him from responsibility for any claims against him?
Yeah, he filed a motion in court. And I, actually, if anyone's interested in this case, as I am, you can go to the NPR website, NPR Law, and you can actually read this motion, which you can read. It's in plain English. The contract apparently says that the case will be arbitrated, meaning that it will not be in the court system. It will be in a New York private arbitration. Second thing it says is that he, according to this motion, he has contracted to completely exonerate himself from any negligence or any claims against him, and that all the other producers have to, what we call, indemnify him and hold him harmless, meaning to the extent that he gets sued, they have to pay for his lawyers and they have to pay whatever judgment or settlement there is. So according to him, he's completely out of the picture when it comes to negligence. Now, whether or not those allegations are going to be held up in court is another thing, but certainly that's his argument.
What about the criminal investigation? That hasn't concluded yet. Might that influence what happens to the Baldwin suit?
That's a really good question. And as we know, this has been a long time, Bob. This has been 5 months since this incident happened. So you're wondering, why hasn't there been a resolution of whether or not there are going to be charges here? And yes, let's just say that Alec Baldwin is charged with some sort of crime, not saying that he is, but that could affect it, because when you have a criminal aspect to a case, that could take it out of the negligence realm, and that could basically nullify this contract, saying that his actions went way above and beyond negligence, went into the criminal realm, and therefore that contract doesn't protect him. Not saying that's going to happen, because I have a hard time believing that he could be criminally charged with something that, you know, he was relying upon the protocol of the movie set, which is a very typical thing when it comes to the handling of guns.
Yeah, and Baldwin continues to say he didn't know the gun had live ammunition and that it was not his job to check the gun for live ammo, right?
Right, and if you talk to people who are on movie sets, and I actually did the other day, it's very interesting. There's a huge protocol. I mean, there are people on the set, not just one, but usually two, who that's their only job there, is to manage the guns. And according to this, everybody on the set, there were not supposed to be live rounds anywhere on the set. So there's this big question mark. How did live rounds get on the set? Were people goofing around with the guns on their off time? Did someone sabotage the gun for some reason? I mean, there's some piece missing here that I'm hoping the criminal investigation will resolve.
Let's talk a bit about Jussie Smollett and what's going on with him. He was moved out of the psych ward, we're told. Why was he in there in the first place, and then why did they move him? What's going on?
Hard to say. You know, as we recall, when he was leaving court after his sentence was given, he was saying words to the effect, "I'm not suicidal." And I took that to mean that if anything happens to me in the prison, I didn't kill myself. This wasn't a Jeff Epstein case, right? This was something that someone else did, and you're responsible for putting me in here. But I think maybe those words resulted in the guards and the prison making a determination that we have to be careful here and make sure he's not suicidal. We don't know what he means. And he's a high-profile defendant. He's a person who probably is a target there, given his notoriety. Apparently, there have been phone calls to his family members, et cetera. So they may have just put him in there out of abundance of caution to make sure that he's okay.
And do you have a legal take on the Sunshine Protection Act that the Senate has passed and now goes to the House?
Well, I kind of like it. And, you know, what's funny about it was a unanimously passed bill, which means to me that it just gives politicians more sunlight in which to argue with each other, I guess.
I was reading about this, and I've talked about this endlessly. Gas use could actually increase since people would be more inclined to go out and about after work. I wonder if that, and with the price of gas now being what it is, if that will influence the House, and perhaps this will never be passed now.
Oh, that's an interesting point. I do think, you know, for purposes of children leaving school, you know, that's the thing that I think is most important, is that there's going to be extra time at the end of the day for kids maybe to walk home where there's still light and maybe go out to play a little bit. But I don't like the idea of waking up in the dark. But in Chicago, we have to put up with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, people around here hope the bill is passed so they can stop hearing me complain about the time changes every year. Karen Conti on the radio here Sunday afternoon following the NCAA tournament coverage. Thanks, Karen. Have a good day.
You too, Bob.